Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
I'm coming today with a word from the book of Joshua. Chapter 6, verses 18 and 19 to begin with. To give you some background, this is regarding when Joshua was told by God to overtake Jericho, the city of Jericho, which is part of the promised land given to the Israelites. And they did overtake it, but they were given specific instructions of what to do and what not to do. So Joshua 6, 18 and 19 talks about those things. And I'm going to read from the NIV, verse 18. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. I want to speak today on the topic, a generational sin. As I had mentioned, God had told the Israelites that he would hand over the city of Jericho to the Israelites and that it would be no problem. He told them specifically, do not take anything from that city, totally destroy everything in the city, except the silver, the gold, and the articles of bronze and iron, because those articles are going to be in God's treasury. Now, he gave them this stern warning, and allegedly they listened. But if you read Joshua, starting with Joshua chapter 7, starting with verse 1, it says, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Ashan, son of Carmi, son of Zimri, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some things. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel as a result. The Lord did not tell Joshua what Ashan had done regarding taking some of those things that he wasn't supposed to take. So Joshua didn't know, so what he did next, I will read to you in verses 2 on. Now, verse 2 says, now Joshua, being totally unaware of what Ashan had done, sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Avan to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out the next city, which was Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there. So about 300 or 3,000 went up, but they were routed anyway by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the gates, city gates, as far as the stone quarries, and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Verse 6, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same thing and sprinkled dust on their head. And Joshua said, Allah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say? Now that Israel has been routed by its enemies. Verse 9. The Canaanites and the other people of the countries will hear about us getting our butt kicked, in other words, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. Then, what then will you do for your own great name? Now, what Joshua did not understand, he just did not understand why they had been defeated when the Lord had been with them during every other battle. The men that Joshua had sent to spy told them that this would, in essence, be a piece of cake to overtake the city. Not that many people there. The men said that they did not even have to send an entire army, just a few thousand men, to conquer that city. Piece of cake. The men, as well as Joshua, they took the Lord for granted, because God had defeated all their enemies in battle in the past, right? Joshua even questioned the Lord by asking, why would you bring us out into this new land only to have us destroyed, right? Joshua still had no idea that the Lord was angry with the people because Achan disobeyed his order and stole some things, right? So in verses 10 through 12, the Lord explains. Verse 10, the Lord says to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them in their own possessions. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemy. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to that destruction. God commanded Joshua to bring everyone by tribe and by family to come forward and consecrate themselves, right? In verse 15, this is still chapter 7, he says, whoever is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire along with all that belongs with him or to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel. So every tribe and family came. No one was guilty of any sin at that point. That changed in verses 18 through 26, which reads, Joshua had his own family come forward, man by man, and Achan, son of Carmah, son of Kimron, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was chosen. When Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor me. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. Verse 21. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua, verse 22, Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Verse 24, then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned Achan, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned him. Over Achan, they heaped a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, this place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. To understand all of this, let's look at why Achan sinned. Well, the first reason Achan sinned is because of greed. He saw riches and he wanted them. It is human nature to want fine things and riches, right?
Yeah.
The second reason why he did it was lust. Achan wanted these things so badly he was out of control. He lusted for riches and fine things. And again, that is human nature, right? Mm-hmm. He also did it for ego. Achan wanted to feel more important in his own mind, which explains the theft of the robe, which is a robe which is associated with royalty. Why else would he take the robe? And the other reason, and there's plenty of others, but the fourth reason I came up with was deceit. He wanted these things no matter the consequences and was willing to lie to keep them, right? Now, there was a cost for Achan's sin. Let's look at the results of his one sin. He was stoned to death. His family was stoned to death. His cattle, his donkeys, everything he had was destroyed. The Israelites lost a battle to the city of Ai that they would have won under normal circumstances because the Lord would have been with them if Achan had not sinned, right? Several men died in battle as a result of this one man's sin. So I asked the question to myself, I said, so why is this a generational sin? Well, let's think about it. Number one, Achan's family was destroyed, right? So there is no offspring. So no generation to follow or to carry on his name. It's gone. Secondly, the men who died in battle, right? They were young men who will never have fathered or had kids of their own. So thus, their generation went in too, right? We sometimes do not understand the consequences of our sin. Perhaps we should look at Achan as an example as to how one sin can set off a chain reaction. His sin caused numerous, consequences as his lying and not telling Joshua or confessing his sins set all this in motion. Which brings me to an important question. Does your sin set off a chain reaction? Does your sin have an effect on your family? Does your sin affect others even though your sin is hidden? When you choose to hide your sin and not confess it, do you feel like you've gotten away with it? Is your sin hidden from God? These are tough questions that only you can answer. I don't know about anybody else's sin other than my own. I just know that we all fall short. But this much I do know. Romans 6:23 states very simply that the wages of sin is death, right? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 states, if we confess our sins, he meaning God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If Achan had confessed his sin immediately, God would have forgiven him right then and there and spared his life, his family's life, and everything else. Also, he would have spared the Israelites because they would have went in battle with God with them and they would have easily defeated the city. But because he hid all that from everybody, God wasn't with them. This is what the result was of him not confessing his sins. If we confess our sins in this matter, God will forgive us and help us to change or cleanse us so that we may not do that sin again. Think of it, saints. We have a God that can not only forgive us, by His grace that can change our heart, our mind, and our very human nature so that we will not sin. We have to confess in order to set this particular chain reaction in motion. You know what I mean? We got the bad chain reaction here. We got the confession and God changing us on this side. That's the positive chain reaction we want to get started. But we have to be honest with ourselves and our God by humbling ourselves and asking for forgiveness. And then asking God to take away that sin. It is God's will that we take on His nature that does not sin. But we have to be willing to give God our sin through confession and ask sincerely for His help to eliminate the sin nature in us. We do not know what harm our sins do or what harm it does to others around us. We can only hope that our sin is generational, but we don't really know. I'll give you an example of some generational sins that you probably hadn't even thought of. You know, if you grow up in a household with alcoholism, right? The alcoholic is sinning because drunkenness is a sin. But his sin is affecting his spouse, his children, everybody, his job, everybody around him is affected by his sin. It's a chain, he set off a chain reaction. I give you another one, adultery. The person who's committing adultery is affecting his spouse. He's also affecting the spouse of the other person he's having an affair with. He's affecting his own family. He's affecting his spouse, the other person's family too. And it's a chain reaction. See, we don't think of our sins sometimes as being having so many consequences to it, but it does. Everything that we do that is not of God has consequences. That's why God wants us to confess it immediately. Don't wait a day or two or three or four, because the chain, once you've done a sin, the chain reaction is already in motion. We need to end that motion before it gets started. Because, like I said before, Ashan, his sin was generational. It affected generations. Mm-hmm. Our sin is doing the same thing, and we don't even know it. Wow. A lot of times, and it's even written, that sins are passed down from one generation to the other. Mm-hmm. That's why. It's a generational sin. Nobody asked for forgiveness at the beginning of this chain, and it's come down to this person, all the way down the line, generation to generation. You know? And we wonder why. This is why. Somebody at the beginning of the chain never asked for forgiveness. And now the people below the chain are being affected by that. Same thing with Ashan. So I'm saying, again, I'll close it by saying, we do not know what harm our sins does to us or to others. We need to confess it, like it says in 1 James 9. We need to confess it, and if we do, God will faithfully forgive us and cleanse us of the righteousness and help us to eliminate that chain reaction. We can only hope and pray that our sin is not generational. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You, Father, for this word. I thank You, Lord, for Your correction, Your instruction, Your love for us, and just teaching us, Lord, that we don't know the true consequences of us falling short of Thy glory. But there are consequences. Father, I'm not worthy to speak this message because I fall just as short as everybody else. So forgive me, Lord, and forgive us all, Lord, for we've all fallen short. Help us, Lord, to understand that confession is good for us, Lord, that we need to confess our sins immediately, let it go right then and there, because we don't really want to set off a chain reaction. We don't want our sins to affect our family, our friends, our co-workers, people we come in contact with, even people we don't even know. Father, help us, Lord. We need You, Lord. Help us not to sin in the first place, and help our sins not to be something that's passed down from generation to generation. Father, we thank you for this word, and we love you. We pray, Lord, that your word will touch many and cause them to come to you, Father, and confess their sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.